let's unite together in prayer. And after the prayer, we will hear ministry and song, The Kingdom Heirs, again from a previous service in our church. Our eternal God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this gospel that we preach. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we thank thee, O God, as we come to thee tonight. We plead, O God, the merits of the precious blood. And we stand upon that ground of the finished work. And Father, we pray for thy presence in our meeting tonight, that thou wouldst speak, Lord, through thy word as it is preached in the gospel. We pray, O God, that tonight some soul will come to Christ as they hear the word of God. We pray that conviction of sin will come upon hearts this evening. We pray, Father, that there'll be those listening in tonight that will hear the effectual call of the gospel and be irresistibly drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will know the saving grace of God in truth. And Lord, that where sin abounds, grace may much more abound. We pray that thou wilt move mightily this night. We pray of thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou art the answer to every sinner's need. We thank that thou canst lift the sinner out of that pit of corruption and set their feet upon a rock, even the rock Christ Jesus. And we pray that this will happen tonight. Give us help in the preaching of thy word. Hide us behind the cross. May none be seen, save Jesus only, and he alone glorified. We ask of thee tonight that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt move and that thou wilt answer prayer for the glory and for the honor of thy name. For any who are backslidden, Lord, bring them back even into fellowship with thee tonight. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless everything that takes place in this service. May it bring great glory and honor and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come tonight to pray, O God, for those in particular need, those who are hospitalized at this time. We pray for those who are ill at home. We pray that thou wilt draw near to each one, those affected by this virus in various ways, some with moderate illness, some with serious illness. We pray, Father, that thou wilt draw near to all such at this time, and that thou wilt heal and restore. And if it is your holy will at this time, that you'd stop the spread of this virus, and grant, Lord, that the vaccine program will be able to be rolled out even more quickly. And grant, Lord, that more people will be protected in the days and weeks and months ahead. We do commend our health service to thee. We pray that thou wilt help them and that thou wilt bless them. Speed them, Lord, in this program of vaccination. Speed them, Lord, in all that they do to help people with their health and to minister to people in hospital. We pray that thou wilt bless all those on the front line, doctors, nurses, all who work in hospital situations, all who work in the health service right across the board. We pray that thou wilt meet the needs of those in the care community too, that thou wilt help them and that thou wilt protect them. And Father, we just pray for our church family, that thou wilt meet every need of every person within it. Those who have appointments this week, those, O God, who are waiting on consultations or hospital visits, we pray that thou wilt undertake for all such. And we pray, O God, for those going through treatments at this time, that thou wilt help them and that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt, O God, heal and restore all who are ill at this hour, and grant that they may know the touch of God, if it is thy holy will. Father, we just commend ourselves to thee tonight. We pray for our government too, that thou wilt remember them. O God, that thou wilt guide them in these days, that, Lord, they may have wisdom in all the decisions that they make, and that thou wilt guide us as a church in our presbytery and all the aspects and avenues of the work of God locally as well. Keep thy hand upon the boys and girls, and for Sunday school work and for children's meeting and all the other aspects of children's and youth work. Thank you for the meetings held on Zoom with the Youth Fellowship. Bless these meetings, we pray, and bless every aspect of the life and work of the church. Remember our session and committee. Remember our members and friends. Keep your hand upon us all and bless us in these days and meet our every need. Meet the need of our families tonight. There are those in our families without Christ. Oh God, speak. We pray when their family circles. Draw those to Christ, even those maybe in hospital at this time. We pray that Thou wilt draw near to them. Speak to their hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Welcome you to our service tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you're joining in with us. Whatever device you're listening on, we pray that God will meet with you tonight. Just some announcements at this stage of our service tonight. Could I just mention the midweek Bible study online? Survey of the New Testament will be continued, God willing, this week at 8 p.m. on Sermon Audio, and do please join in if you can. We're in 2 Timothy this week, and we trust that you will meet then in your homes for prayer after that, And we encourage you to seek the Lord's face, and we'll try and send out prayer requests before Wednesday evening or by Wednesday evening to you. Friday at 8 p.m. is a presbytery meeting by Zoom, and that link will be forwarded to the elders before that meeting. I'd like to say a word of thanks to all who joined for the youth fellowship on Zoom on Friday past. We had, I think, 28 linked in on Friday night to our youth fellowship. We thank all who linked in to that. If you didn't link in this time, we trust that you will do the next time at 8 p.m. on Friday the 12th of February, God willing. Next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 7 again, the service will be streamed online, and we trust that you'll remember those services, 11:30 and 7, as we come to the preaching of the Word of God again. Trust you'll be able to join us. Remember all who are affected by this virus, either at home or in hospital. Many are affected by it right across our land and other parts of the world. And do pray for those in our own congregation who have gone through surgery or are waiting for treatments or waiting appointments, waiting for procedures and various matters of health, and pray for the Lord's hand to be upon them. Do pray for divine intervention this time in relation to this virus in our land and further afield. We're thankful to the Lord for what he has done thus far, even in the reduction of the number of infections, and seemingly the hospital numbers are starting to come down as well. And obviously the vaccines are going out, and we're thankful to the Lord for these answers to prayer thus far. Yesterday, there were prayer meetings on Zoom organized by our presbytery morning and afternoon, and many, many people joined into those times of prayer. We trust the Lord will answer prayer in these days. Our services, as you know, will be continuing on Sermon Audio, the weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. Offerings can be forwarded, as has been indicated clearly, to either of our joint treasurers, Brother Robert or Brother Cecil, indicating clearly what they are for, and the detail should be put in with those offerings if you're sending them in. Or you can keep them until we return to the church itself for public worship. Do remember, we lay aside our offerings. Next week would be our building fund, so keep that in mind as well as we lay aside our tithes and offerings for the Lord's work. And we're going to turn to another hymn, again sung on a previous occasion in our church, number 200. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Number 200, page 257. If you have a hymn book there, you can turn to it at this point and join in the singing.
We'll come in verse 4. All the men folk, please.
Turning in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And reading together from this portion, we're breaking in this chapter, of course, which is about the resurrection, great resurrection chapter. We're breaking in at verse 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us hear the word of God. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us and turn to the Lord in prayer as we come to his word tonight. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now in the concluding moments of our service. We pray, O God, that thou wilt help us and that thou wilt bless us, that thou wilt meet with every person listening in. We pray that thou wilt speak tonight to hearts and draw souls to Christ, that they may experience the grace and the salvation purchased by Christ. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to the subject, the sting of sin. The sting of sin. You'll find the verses that I want to focus upon in my text there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 and 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is known as the resurrection chapter, setting before us the victory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a vital part of the gospel the resurrection is. In the first verses of this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, in the definition of the gospel that is given there, we have these words in verses 3 and 4. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And Paul goes on to emphasize the importance of the resurrection of our Savior. For example, in verse 14 he says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Again, verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And we see in these verses, and many more that we could cite to you, the importance of Christ's resurrection. Paul again in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, he said this of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And Paul goes on to speak in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection of the believer. In the final verses of this chapter, verses 51 to 54. Finishing with those words in verse 54, "Death is swallowed up in victory." And what victory there is for the child of God. What a contrast there is between death and resurrection. Between what sin has brought to us and what Christ has done for us. And this is brought before us in the words of our text. And I pray that the Lord will bring His word home to our hearts in the closing part of our service this evening. As we draw your attention to these verses of Scripture, verses 55 and 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of sin. I want you to notice, first of all, the commencement of this sting. The Bible tells us here in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. And we must go back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered into the world. And our first parents ate of the forbidden fruit. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. They disobeyed the express command of God in Genesis 3 and 3. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the consequence of our first parents' disobedience was death. Paul writing in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So as we are born into this world with sin inherent within us, there is also this thing called the sting of death. And so in every sector of the human race, there is sin. The Bible says again in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says again in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, through the offense of one, many be dead. Romans 5:19, for as one by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so we are numbered amongst the many, a multitude of people of all classes, of all cultures, of all creeds, across this world, out of every nation, across the globe. Now a sting is something, at the very least, unpleasant, often very painful, and even for some can be life-threatening, as there are people whose bodies react very badly to such stings. Sin is most unpleasant. It may at the first appear to be nothing, but it spreads. It takes hold of the individual. It causes pain to them and to the multitudes of people that are affected by it. The poison of sin in the heart of man threatens their very life, not only for now, but for the hereafter and for all eternity. There are treatments for stings, of course. You may visit maybe a local pharmacy and buy across the counter something to help you and to take away that sting or the pain of it. For others, they have to carry an antidote around with them so that they can apply it when they get a sting of one type or another. But my friend, there is only one treatment for the sting of sin. There is only one antidote for sin, and that is the precious blood, the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood applied to the heart of the sinner can deal immediately and deal effectively with the sting of sin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, the apostle said there, for not as the offense, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible again says, verse 17 of that same chapter, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that He provided that antidote. And in Him, there is that antidote for sin. For you tonight, who were affected by sin, and for sinners across this world, for Christ died for the ungodly. And so the commencement of this sting. Then I want you to see the continuation of this sting. You see, the sting of sin has continued to embed itself in the hearts of people down through the centuries of time and continues to do so. There is no vaccination that man can produce to stop the spread of sin. What a pandemic has been caused by sin. You hear presently and sadly about this awful pandemic across the course, across the expanse of this world. But here is an even greater pandemic, that of sin, affecting all of Adam's fallen race. The Bible tells us there of the offspring of Adam in chapter 4 of Genesis, affected by sin. When you go to chapter 5, you see the picture of death. Death comes by sin. In chapter 6 and verse 5 of Genesis, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the sting of sin in the generation prior to the flood coming upon the earth. And so it has continued down through the centuries of time. Continued with the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, chapter 19 of Genesis. The Bible tells us they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You see, the sting of sin manifested through the period of the judges and the kings of Israel and Judah. And of how many we read in that period of time they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in the times of the prophets too, the major prophets and the minor prophets, we see the sting of sin in the lives of men and women. The nation of Israel was stung with the sting of sin. And in the days when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, working His miracles, preaching the Word of God, we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin in men and women and young people. In their vile ways, in their rebellion against His Word, in their rejection of His person, in their refusal to accept Him as their Savior. And so it has been down through the centuries of time. Sin has spread everywhere through society. As we look out in this world tonight, we see the sting of sin is still being manifest on every side. There is no lessening of its impact. In fact, the opposite seems to be so. An increasing impact upon sin, upon the countries and continents of the world. To the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And no restrictions by governments, even if they brought them in, could lessen its spread. Everyone is infected. Dangerously infected. Infected through the sting of sin. And people are dying because of the sting of sin. People are being lost forever because of this awful thing. How dreadful it is to see in the countries of the world tonight, our own country as well, hundreds in some cases, thousands and thousands of people who have lost their lives because of COVID-19. But how many have died in their sin? How many in this world have died and are dying without Christ tonight? Those of every age, of families across the world, of every strata of society, feel the sting of sin. A swarm of bees or wasps could swoop in upon a household or upon a given area, but it will not continue for any length of time. Soon it will be quelled. And while the awfulness of that would be felt for a period, it will soon pass. But not so with the sting of sin. It continues, going on wave after wave, relentlessly, unceasingly, in society at large. You are impacted by it. I am impacted by it. And all are impacted by it. Because all are under sin. All are under sin tonight. And so we have the commencement of this sting. We have the continuation of this sting. But we have also, thirdly, the consequence of this sting. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We know, of course, that stings from insects can for some result in death. They're not given an antidote quickly. And it happens and is happening and has happened many times. But for most, a sting of a bee or a wasp or a jellyfish or some other creature or insect will not result in death. But the consequence of sin is death. In fact, we are told that the worker bee can sting only once in its lifetime. Its needle-sharp stinger is equipped with little barbs all along its sides like a porcupine quill, so that when the stinger is inserted, it goes in to stay and causes the death of the bee. The stinger of a bee once it has entered the flesh, cannot be withdrawn because of these barbs. The only way, therefore, for the bee to free itself is to tear away from the stringer, leaving it behind in the victim whom it has attacked. It is now a bee without a sting. It is harmless. Oh, it can still buzz, but it cannot sting. The story is told of a father who had beehives as a pastime. One day he walked with his two sons through the orchard among the beehives. Boys were just little boys, and little boys will be little boys, of course. Children will be children. And in some way they irritated the bees. One of the bees went straight for the head of one of the boys, and before he could get out of the way, it sunk its sting into his flesh just above his eye. With a howl of pain, he brushed it away, only to dart directly to his brother's head. At this, he screamed, although unhurt. At the top of his voice, he fell to the ground. He hid his face in the grass. Father raised him up, saying, "Listen. That bee cannot hurt you. It can only scare you." He then took him over to his brother and showed him the little dark speck still deeply embedded in the flesh of his brother. And he pointed out, "There is the bee sting. He left it in your brother. And now it is harmless as far as you are concerned. Oh, it can still alarm you and buzz and scare you, but it has no power to sting you, and soon it will die. The consequence of the bee sting was not death for the lad who was stung by it, but for the bee. But the consequence of the sting of sin is death for you and me. And oh, the danger that you're in tonight in your sin without Christ." You see, the Bible tells you and me tonight that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, that you might see the danger that you're in tonight, the awful danger that you're in because of sin, that death, eternal death, separation from God forever is before you. You're without hope and without God in the world. What a terrible thing it is for a man or a woman or a young person to suffer the consequences of sin. Death. Death. The Bible makes it clear. The sting of death is sin. The consequence of this sting. But I want you to see not only the commencement of this sting and the continuation of this sting and the consequence of this sting, but I want you to see finally tonight the cure for this sting. Maybe you have seen someone almost collapse when they've been stung by an insect. Perhaps a wasp sting or something like that. Their face and mouth and neck swells up very rapidly. But then they put their hand into their pocket or into the glove compartment of their car and they apply the antidote. And in a short time, they're fine again. They can continue on in the normal course of life. The sting of death is sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, took our sin upon Himself and was, as it were, stung to death by our sin. Now the sting of death is gone. For the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, He bare our sins on His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness. The sting of death, therefore, is gone. Oh, death can still buzz, as it were. It can still scare the believer. It is, after all, an enemy. But thank God, death cannot harm or injure us in any way. Death for the believer opens the door for us into heaven, into glory, into the presence of our Savior. The law demanded our death. The law said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And so Paul says in verse 56 here of 1 Corinthians 15, "The strength of sin is the law, but Christ our Savior came, fulfilled the law. He met all the demands of the law. He paid its full penalty. And now we are saved by grace, free from the law and its condemnation. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission." Now we can understand Paul's exultant cry of victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful, therefore, it is to know that when this life is over, for us who are trusting in Christ as Savior, we have an eternity of bliss ahead because sin cannot touch us anymore. The best is yet to come. We can say with Paul in verses 57 and 58 of this chapter we've read from tonight, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What hope we have in Christ tonight. Our wonderful Savior, our blessed Redeemer tonight. But what about you? If you're not saved tonight, you've never known this cure for the sting of sin, but thank God you can know it tonight. If you will step out in the promise and get under the blood, if you will take Christ as your Savior tonight, will you take Him now? Well, did old John Trapp say, "This is the boldest and bravest challenge that man could ever ring in the ears of death. Death is here outbraved, called craven to the face, bidden to do his worst. O death," says Trapp, "where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The apostle, however, is not yet done. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Trapp goes on to say, "The battle has been fought, and the victory gained by the crucified one, complete conqueror of death, take possession of thy kingdom. whether shall follow thee? By the royal road which thou hast traced, ages of worshippers. In hell laid low, made sin, he sin o'erthrow, bowed to the grave, destroyed its soul, and death by dying slew. What words are these from John Trapp? Indicating to us the victory that Christ has obtained for us through his death upon the cross. Victory over death. Will you step into that victory tonight? Alfred Mace, a minister of the word, was walking with his father together one day along a street when a funeral cortege approached. "Here he comes again, Dad, and only beaten once." His dad looked up, expecting to see someone. "Where is he?" said the father. "There he is. His name is Death. His name is Death." My friend, death has been conquered by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you trust in him tonight, then this sting of sin that you have embedded within you, in your heart, manifested in your life, every day, every moment, can be taken away. Oh, will you trust in the atoning blood tonight? Will you trust the Savior? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you come tonight and trust in Christ as your Savior and be saved even now. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thy word to every heart. And O God, bring souls to trust the Savior tonight. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn number 233. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you've heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Page 270, hymn number 233. We trust you'll join in your homes the singing of this hymn. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church Gospel Evening Service. If you're concerned or troubled about your soul, you need any spiritual help, do please make contact with us by phone or text or email, whatever means you have to get in contact with us. We trust you will. Most of all, that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Don't delay, but come to him now. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would speak on to hearts tonight, even when the voice of man is silent. We pray that you'll draw precious souls to know the Savior. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.